Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Weird Things podcast. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Bryce Castillo.
Oh, hi, I'm back here.
Justin Robert Young.
Hey, friends.
And Brian Brushwood.
Hello.
Gentlemen, I got some weird stuff to throw at you.
Uh-oh. What? Well, that's so unlike you, man.
I need an investigative team.
Looks like everybody's booked. You'll have to settle for Brian and Justin.
No.
Oh.
No.
Huh.
I only hire trios.
Oh.
Oh.
Golly. Oh,
goodness.
And I understand that we have your smarter older brother who's going to help us out here.
Yeah.
That's right. It's
Brian
too.
And he doesn't say much.
Brian, the first of his name.
Means something. I'm just letting you off the hook, Bryce.
No, it's fine. Yeah. Let's do it.
All right.
I'm sorry, Brian, what an a-hole you are. We have been friends for over a decade, and you have never even mentioned that you have an older brother. Can you please introduce me to your older brother?
Yeah, bro, come on.
Look, I mean, everyone thinks he's so much younger than me, so much fitter. I don't like to talk about him much.
That's definitely not true.
But yeah, I have an older brother whose name's also Brian.
Yeah.
Oh wow. So you're Brian too then. He's just Brian Brushwood.
Well, I'm Brian too.
I mean, look.
Not in my book. You born first, and that makes him Brian too. So, I'm gonna call you a real Brian.
Oh man,
Brian, I should have been friends with this entire time. Not this hand-me-down that I've been living on. No more strip steak. It's filet mignon from here on out. Real Brian.
Oh man.
So, just for our sake, how do we differentiate you two?
Real Brian and fake Brian.
I'm real Brian.
I guess
we don't have to say fake, but we all know.
It's just so like
real Brian and fake Brian. Real Brian wears sunglasses indoors. Fake Brian wears eyeglasses indoors. It's very, very clear which one is real, which one is fake. Let's get on this adventure.
All right. So, gentlemen, I'm bringing you to a jungle in South America.
Nice. Okay. Oh man, I can smell the trees already.
Oh, it's not all you smell, my friend. You smell death. The moment our helicopter lands and we get out of the clearing, you smell death. Lots of death.
Like active hot splatter blood spray or sickly sweet 2 weeks decay death.
Sickly sweet.
Sickly sweet. I very reasonably put some Vicks VapoRub under my nose to compensate for the gross smell.
Good thinking, bro. Good thinking. That's smart ideas.
I elbow real Brian in the ribs and say, typical fake Brian move. Am I right?
I shake my head ever so slightly, take a deep breath, and then step forward and say, well, guys, I guess let's have a look around.
Yeah.
Are there? I roll my eyes and say, "Where are everybody? Let's go have a look around."
You hear monkeys in the jungle, Brian. Brian, laughing at you.
I nod amiably and say, "Let's see. Is there any active smoke or fires around here? Is there anything visually that jumps out?"
Horsing around. Hey. Let's take a look for any active smoke or fires.
Yeah.
Come on, gotta get this investigation going.
Are we able to visualize any fires or maybe some smoke that's going on?
Good call. Well, staying ahead of it, real Brian.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you, man.
So first off, we're in Brazil, and you smell death. Like, it is stinking. You look up in the air, and you see buzzards.
Lots
of buzzards.
Squint my eyes and look to the horizon, trying to figure out if I could see the center of their attention.
And a monkey throws a nut in your eye.
Brian got nutted in his eye.
monkey nut. I begin walking to where the buzzards are circling, heeding.
All right, everybody, let's go ahead and go where the buzzards are circling.
Great idea, Justin.
Nailed it.
So you're getting closer. The jungle's kind of dense here, and the smell is off the hook. It is insanely smelling of death.
It smells here, man. I can't think of the last time I smelled anything this bad.
I make a joke about oof, shouldn't have had those beans this morning.
Shut up! I say to Fake Brian, that's not funny.
You're someone died.
Monkeys just, are silent. Bro.
Yeah, I just figured anymore. Because you know it smelled so bad. That's fine.
Dead silence from the jungle, Brian. The wind even stops.
I continue to walk towards the source of the smell.
So your nostrils are assaulted. The Vicks vapor rub is just sliding right off because of the sweat. We're in a jungle. Mm. Now, I'm going to ask you something. You're heading towards death. Any of you starting to wonder, you got to brace yourself mentally. You got to think, I'm about to see blank.
I mean, I'm sure this is probably going to be some kind of open mass grave or something like that. That's what I'm assuming.
I say, hey guys, you know, there is the outside possibility that we're not about to, you know, see a whole bunch of destroyed cow carcasses thanks to some flesh eating bacteria that have been left to rot. But isn't there some kind of flower that like reeks of death when it blooms once a year, like, and everyone gathers,
like a death flower?
Yeah, well, I mean, I see
like your death flower. Great point, Real Brian.
Okay.
I want you guys to draw straws. Who is going to go look first?
Hey guys,
because you know the cause of death could still be there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it could be dangerous.
I don't mind.
The thing is, I need a brave person.
I'll volunteer. I mean,
anybody.
It's fine. I look up and say to the sky, really? Really?
And the wind shapes the clouds into a middle finger, Brian.
I hunch my shoulder and clomp towards it.
If no one's going to step up, then I'll go investigate.
Thank you, all Justin. Right. That's very valiant of you. Yeah. You're a Justin, knight in among trees.
As I'm walking in my greatest cool guy stride, I find a nut and I throw it over my shoulder and hit Brian right in the face.
Justin, I just sent you a thing from the crime scene.
I'm walking.
Goes over a hill, goes over there. Like, hey, Brian, what do you guys do when you're like by yourself? Like, cool Brian, I imagine you just Charlie horse him.
No, he's my little brother. I wouldn't want to hurt him.
I mean, I ask if he is still summering on the Isle of Wight and what it's like to have married into royalty.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's
guys.
Oh.
Guys.
Uh-oh.
Real Brian. The other one. I have seen something that defies belief.
So out with it. What is it?
Yeah, tell us.
I'm going to tell you something that, like, there is an obvious joke that has not been made about this, and I'm very, very disappointed that the internet has not caught on to this.
So, number one, I'm going to tell you what this is by way of explaining how stupid thinking that this was some kind of flower. I mean, what kind of idiot? I forget who said it.
Just kidding, I know. It was Fake Brian. But I don't want to make him feel bad. So I'll just say I don't remember, Real Brian. I'm doing this for you. You've been such a good friend for these 10 minutes.
Appreciate it. Daps.
Anyway, this would have to be the biggest flower you've ever seen in your entire life. What, only a real maroon? moon would think that it would be able to be a flower that would create this amount of stink.
Huh.
What's up if you think whoever said it was a flower is an idiot? I mean, I raise my hand.
I'm hearing the evidence.
And... Oh, apparently the clouds have formed in the shape of an outstretched hand above the jungle.
I shrug my shoulders and mutter, could have been more than one flower. I mean, you have a whole crowd of flowers.
A huge human-sized flower, Brian.
Not a human-sized flower, real Brian. But a flower the size of a beached whale.
What? Wait,
so you guys are saying I was right? Is it a death flower?
No, it's a freaking bit, a dead humpback whale.
Wait. Oh, in the jungle?
No reason.
How did it get into the jungle?
Did
it
swim up the Amazon?
I said, come. Follow me. And then I jauntily move through the jungle. I grab another nut, throw it over my shoulder. Actually, no, this time it's between my legs, and it hits Brian right in the face again.
Hey, Brian, you got some of Justin's nut on your face.
I push forward, and I sort of elbow you off to the side. I'm like, I'm well aware of them.
So
I've got some actual footage of it, of this, Bryce. You can check of how it got there. But they found... In the it's an island in Brazil, and it's basically a jungle island. They found a baby whale. When I say a baby whale, imagine a very, very, very large dead humpback whale.
Okay.
It's about 50 feet from shore and are surrounded by trees.
Oh my God!
26 feet long.
Holy crap!
Jeez, Louise. And it really does just appear to be in the middle of the freaking jungle. I guess there was a storm or some kind of super high tide or something.
Nope, I got footage of how it happened.
So no. we've got a link here.
Another thing that no one made too much fuss about was the fact that against all probability, a sperm
Hitchhiker's Guide. Above the surface of an alien planet. That's amazing. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Got it. So
the improbability drive and the idea of a whale spontaneously appearing and falling.
So how did this happen? How do you get this big? Like, it would have to be flooding to get ashore, maybe?
Real Brian, would you... I just said that, Real Brian.
Oh, did you?
You're killing me. The bit's over.
They get some very, very high tides. And also, sometimes they... While the Amazon River is apparently turning to something of a death trap for whales, it is home to many marine animals. But apparently they had... A mink whale stranded itself nearly 1,000 miles inland of the Atlantic Ocean. They said local rescuers were able to free the whale, but it was found dead just a few days later. So, like, you know, stuff swims upstream, whatever. But here it's like it's not too far from the ocean shore. So we can kind of figure out, you know, how it got there.
I like to imagine that the whale hopped out of the water and then just like tumbleweeded itself comically as far as it could possibly go. Katamari Damase.
That's his new whale song.
Good song, bro. Good song, bro.
All right, I know you already wrote an orchestral version of it. Leave me alone.
Sad part is the photo.
By the way, wait a minute. I look at Real Brian's face and I say, wait a minute. And then I rip off his Real Brian mustache, and it's Bryce the entire time.
Shit.
I knew something was wrong. Hey, Real Brian, the actual Brian Brushwood, let's really beat the hell out of this.
No!
Putting you down.
I say, Real Brian, and I try to grab hold of his scruff to rip it off, and I'm trying really hard to pull it off. It just managed to annoy him, and I give up.
I don't know why Brian played along with it for so long.
I was like, look, man, what can I say? I'm very giving. I'm pretty great. I'm the Real Brian.
I was wearing those sunglasses too
long. And then I fly away.
Great one, Real Brian.
Man, goodness. I wonder, well, see, there's your explanation, creationists. Had them bones get all the way on land. Like, right there.
That's certainly if you're in your satanic belief system, Brian, if that makes you happy.
Well, yeah, here's another answer that needs no more evidence. How do you give money to this show?
Oh, like if you're somebody who enjoys it and would like us to keep doing the show, you could like...
True fact, that whale died trying to climb ashore to give us money, and there's an easier way.
Aww. Folks, we finally made peace. Both scientists and religious scholars agree Patreon.com/weirdthings is where you donate to make sure that this show continues to roll. Well, what a man, you are right now having the benefit of knowing that a humpback whale was found in the center of the Brazilian rainforest. You would not know that if we did not tell you. How do we continue to tell you? By the good, fine folks who donate to us. So head on over to patreon.com/weirdthings and keep that party rolling.
Hells yeah. Speaking of parties, if you want to come to a party, we're having one on March 9th. It's called South by So Wasted in Austin, Texas. It's at the North Door. It's an awesome venue. It's going to be a podcast and music extravaganza. It's the Night Attack and Ice Cream Social and the Possum Posse and Dual Core with special appearances from the Whiskey Tribe, Rex and Daniel, Andrew Heaton, and Willie Dills Gregory. It's going to be freaking great.
Everything is all coming together, so please go ahead. Do me a favor. Just go ahead. I've heard the Android folks have spoken. They said this works there too. But if you are on iOS, just go ahead and on your phone, trigger your voice assistant, say podcastlink.com/nightattack, and you're going to go to that page. It's just that easy. So literally stop the podcast right now and just say it right into there. You're going to get that link.
Hey, are we out of slots for the VIP hangover? I knew it was pretty...
Two
left. Two VIP hangover slots
left.
All right.
If you're interested in that, that's March 10th. We're doing $100 to basically cover the costs of the event. And in exchange for that, you get a private tour of Brian's new facility, which has some stories we cannot tell live here on Joe. Andrew found out what the stories were and just texted me the one line. Of course, Brian bought a blank, the most salacious element of that property. You will find out that and so much more, along with getting some food and hearing a live podcast, a crossover podcast and Q&A with Night Attack and Ice Cream Social. If you're interested in that, just email me, JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com.
Of course, Brian. Of course this would happen to Brian. Of course. It was, I'm like, this, yes.
It's amazing.
Like, I'm convinced that it never happened until Brian bought the property, and then we all jumped into some sideways universe where it's like, well, we've got to, you know, have the Brian scorecard, and we got to make this thing work out.
That
right.
That moment, it was a living moment straight out of a horror movie where somebody checks to see if the legends are true, does hard-nosed research, and then, you know, you hear that screech orchestral hit as he realizes it is true.
It is after all the jokes we made. After all the jokes we made, we never bothered to find out.
And also, by the way, there's even more stuff that Brian's found out from other people around town as he's kind of poked around, that the people that took it over after the story that we're talking about had their own kind of crazy thing. It's going to be worth it. If you have the time and the extra scratch, then please go ahead and hit us up. JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com.
So we had some really cool firsts last week. One was there was a SpaceX launch, and they launched one. One was a satellite, an Indonesian communication satellite, but also a payload sponsored by some companies from Israel, and it is a lunar lander, the first privately built and launched lunar lander, and it's going towards, guess what?
The moon.
So that's on its way. It's going to be a couple month journey towards there, but that's the first time we've ever sent a private payload to the moon.
This is going to happen in our lifetimes. I mean, what do we have? All we have to do is keep kicking for 20 more years. We're going to watch the moon rush. Everybody, sure, you know, of course, everybody's like, well, the real money is going to be in Mars. But meanwhile, you know, if you got a few bucks, you can grab yourself a little chunk of the moon.
So meanwhile, the very next day, Virgin Galactic, which, you know, has had some rough patches there, but they persist. They took their they took their first passenger, who is actually a member of the Virgin Galactic team, and actually somebody I've met, Beth Moses, and she is the chief astronaut instructor for Virgin Galactic. So she went up there. She went up. They went up the space plane, which goes up above the Kármán line, space line, which you go up there. Those are your, you know, NASA stingy about who they declare as an astronaut, but you're in space. You're an astronaut at that point.
Technically, that's why our friend Richard Garriott has to be referred to as a cosmonaut, because he paid his way. So it's like, whatever. Yeah. You're nautical as hell.
Yeah, if you're a Saudi prince who pays your way, or, I don't know, a senator who's given it as a, you know, way, totally different. Totally different. But anyhow, we can call them astronauts. Call them whatever we want. So Beth Moses, congratulations to her. And I think she may be the first private space participant, or, you know, person going to space who's a woman.
That's awesome.
There you go. Kind of a really cool week last week for space. The other news is Firefly Systems, which was having, I think, some difficulty, but I think Firefly Systems is back, and they're going to be, you know, building a facility in Florida. Exciting times.
Systems, was that the Microsat company, or?
Yeah, they're one of the launchers for that. Yep.
Right on, man.
So
they are launching, or they are brokering all the microsats?
Launching.
They're launching themselves. Okay, yeah. Got you.
Yeah, we've got some really cool new small systems, you know, designed to launch smaller payloads like Rocket Lab, Firefly, etc.
Did we talk about last week or the week before that analysis that came out on the French system where they were like, guys, just stop. None of this is remotely competitive with the reusable entry vehicles.
No, we didn't really get into that.
It just felt like the fact that you're seeing, government spending government money on government research things very rarely get checked and say, guys, just you could take a break. Don't even. And that was the case. A French auditor said that the Ariane 6 rocket was too conventional to compete with SpaceX. It's like even starting this project, even continuing, do all yourselves a favor and stop now and figure out how to license, you know, either go through SpaceX or start getting patent licenses or do something besides continuing to act like it's 1957.
I think it is a tremendous boon for everybody to understand that, especially when it comes to these long-term projects that are going to cost a lot of money. You know, if you're not competitive now, right, what's it going to look like in the years after it's built, you know, with the normal kind of delays that come along with any kind of public funding? Like, it's just good. It's good. I am encouraged by any trend here or abroad where government says, hey, you want to know what? Maybe this isn't worth the money. Let's look at better ways to spend the money, but let's also not spend this money here.
Let's figure out a way to do more by spending less.
Reusability, when they announced it 8 years ago, when there was all this, and the problem was is there were some valid arguments against reusability. When you looked at, like, when we have a satellite market, when we're only launching 30 or 40 things into space a year, and if you're a company that makes rockets, you're like, I'm getting paid X amount to do this. This is the price. All it's going to do is lower the price of putting things into orbit, and we make less money. And it's not looking at, you know, it's the IBM, you know, how many computers do we need to sell? Really? You know, it's like, we only need like a couple hundred mainframes for all the big companies, and that's all the computers you need. And it's like, think differently. And there's that, you saw that resistance towards that when SpaceX, we're going to make them reusable. And people are like, for why? It's not like there's a lot of demand to go into space. And it's like, yeah, because it's friggin' expensive. And so now you're seeing these companies that a few years ago were like, man, who needs it?
We definitely see that in terms of an automobile. Well, like in the early days, it's just like, why would we need that? You know, a Sunday drive, who would do that? Somebody who had a cheap automobile and cheap gas, and all of a sudden there's a new form of entertainment and entire new industries that came about, you know, for example, here in the United States, commercial airline deregulation was the reason I was able to become a touring magician. Now, my guess is nobody made that decision thinking this will enable someone to wake up in Austin and perform a magic show that very night in Portland, Oregon. And yet that's exactly what it made possible for me to do. And that's for, that's why for 20 years I was able to tour.
Think about, you know, we use airplanes now to ship goods, physical goods all the time. You know, there was tragically, there was an Amazon
crash,
cargo flight. Crashed. But it just reminds you not just you send something FedEx. How does it get from here to across the country? On an airplane, a lot of the products that come to your door, it's gotten cheap enough that we send so much stuff through airplanes now. And that's it's a big, big, amazing future. And speaking of which,
vacationing on the moon. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to do it. I'm going to live long enough to see people vacationing on the moon. Hell, if I live long enough, I'll be one of them.
There you go. Just
moon Brian. Dude, you're going to be working out, getting your moon body ready.
Oh, my God. I'm going to go. It's like, hey, man, is the base in the wrong place? Hold on. Let me just bench this. Walk it on over.
You're going to get the videos are going to be doing the 50-foot dunk shot.
Yeah.
Dude. Bro, imagine your PRs in the moon's gravity. You're gonna be crushing it.
Crazy to think about, but why not?
There's gonna be a moon Olympics. I guarantee you, you're gonna get enough people up there. Someone's gonna say, "All right, there's six bases. We gotta form the moon Olympics." And then, it's gonna be great.
Yeah. So first, to get there, we need to put people into space.
Oh, that's not possible.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? We're testing Saturday, 2:30 a.m. Eastern time, 11:30 Pacific Friday.
Is this the passenger SpaceX capsule that's going up?
Crew Dragon.
Oh, that's awesome. But now they're just using it, if I remember this correctly, they're only putting cargo in there, but rather than using just a cargo capsule, they're using a crew capsule, right?
Well, this is the test flight, right? So... rumor has it there's going to be maybe a star man or a star girl inside of there. And then they're going to do, I think, a rendezvous with the ISS they're going to do the test flight for this. And launches, like I said, Friday night, Saturday morning, depending on where you are. So we'll get to see that. I will be there in person, folks.
All right on. Congratulations.
I got selected to do a NASA social to be there. So I get to go out to the Space Center and go watch up close. And so... I'm going to, talk about it, try to stream and be able to tell you all about it Monday. But we can watch live and et cetera. So,
how late in the evening is it?
It's going to be, 11:30 PM Friday night Pacific.
Okay. So it'll be two in the morning.
Yeah. So it's going to be a late flight, but
very cool though.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is the first test of the actual orbital test of SpaceX's Crew Dragon, which is their next generation crew capsule. And it's the first mission of what will hopefully be many more. We're going to have the Boeing Starliner is another one that the Boeing has built theirs. And I think a couple months later, we're going to test the Boeing one. And then all goes well this summer, I think in June, if everything works, I think June is when they're going to actually put astronauts on board Crew Dragon.
That remarkable.
This June?
Like 4 months from now, June.
Like before 4th of July, at a 4th of July barbecue, we're going to have SpaceX astronauts asking for an extra hot dog?
Yes. Can you hear that?
Is that a grinder?
What is that?
A blender, maybe?
I don't know. Some maintenance person's got a Sawzall or something.
Oh, that's amazing. I thought you were playing like a rock and roll tune, like in celebration, like got people in space.
I can't even hear it. I just know that after my comment about a hot dog, somebody mentioned grinder.
July is when they're scheduling to do the demo mission, which is, I believe, with crew. And so crewed, yeah. And then April's, they're going to do an in-flight abort. Well, that'll be cool because that's going to be the one where they're going to try to in the middle of the flight, just eject the capsule to see how that works.
Just say, pull a Homer Simpson's brain. You can stay, but I'm leaving. I'm flying back home.
And by the way, in March, we have another Falcon Heavy.
Another one built or launching for the first time?
Launching.
Man, I'm so excited that
I'm so excited that it's hard to get excited. Like, that's the weird part. Like we don't cover the news of Boeing made another plane today. It's like, yeah, great. They're everywhere. They're awesome.
No, I think we're swinging around to another, like, another round of SpaceX. Like, oh, wait, these are, like, gigantic firsts. You know, we spent the last year and a half getting used to the amazing firsts that they did 2 years ago. And we're about to start seeing some of those, like, wow, I can't believe that this is a thing that's happening in 2019.
A thing to think about is, if all goes well and we get our crew launch in July, it's going to be the first time Americans have launched on an American spacecraft since the shuttle had its last mission, right?
Which wow.
was how many years ago now?
Yeah. Man, what, 18? It was 2002, right?
No, I think we had, no, we flew the shuttle up until like the tens.
I last. Don't. Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, that's right. Because I remember it was, I was in Florida and we were talking about trying to see the last shuttle launch.
2011. July.
Sorry, I was thinking of when the Columbia disaster was.
Bad news, Brian. Bad news, Brian.
Yeah.
So that 2011 was the last one. But think about this. The first space shuttle mission, okay? The first shuttle mission with crew on board was 1981, okay? And for those of you playing at home, think about that. That was the first time we launched a new spacecraft with astronauts on board. And here we are, 2019, 38 years later, and that's how long it's taken us for to launch a new spacecraft carrying people in our country.
What was the gap between the last? I assume they ran Saturn V's for all of the Apollo, right? Like, what?
Yeah, you had Saturns. There were Saturn B's. There was like the Saturn V's. You had those, and then, you know, it was we had a very fast clip from, you know, 1960 to 1981, 21 years, and then just.
Hey, speaking of the Saturn V, I got hit up by the fine folks who run a space camp in Huntsville, Alabama.
Yes, and, we're going.
that would be awesome. I mean, I'm certain that they would treat us very, very well. If we wanted to do like a field trip and go out there.
Yes.
Okay, well then let's say yes to all that. But they hit me up because they're.
Brian, why aren't you calling them right now?
Because I want to do them this service of raising awareness of their project to restore their Saturn V replica that they have there at the I forget what the space something space science exhibit. If you've ever seen it in person, my goodness, it's amazing. I went to space camp in seventh grade, and then 20 plus years later, I had a show at the University of Alabama at Huntsville and got to revisit all that place. And it was just sheer electricity running through my veins. It was really precious. And to get so close to, you know, this equipment and get a sense of the scale, they're in the middle of trying to raise, I think it's going to be about $100,000 to refurbish and you know, rebuild. This is, you know, the most touchable piece of an era that we're going to get to the Apollo missions, and we should, you know, if you have the coin and you want to make a donation, go for it.
I'm sorry, Brian. All I feel is just fury at you that you got to go to space camp when you're a kid, and I didn't.
Well, you know, they do adult space camp. They do, and the adult space camp is...
That'll fix my childhood, Brian.
Is way... Are you kidding me? I think it will. We get some heavy donors over at Patreon, the three of us could go do actual space camp.
it's like, hey, guys, you give up your hard-earned money so we can go to space.
Well, I mean, obviously we would have to tell the story, but I mean, that would be a good, like, you know, a 10-episode series we could sell to Netflix.
Also, the Space and Rocket Center.
Ah, there you go. Rocket Center USA is the Twitter handle.
RocketCenter.com.
Hashtag revive the Saturn V, and five is a V.
Seems different than space camp.
It's at the same place. I'm almost certain. They have many different things that do different things there. That's why space camp is so awesome, because you go and see all the stuff that they're doing.
Okay.
The U.S. Space and Rocket Center in Huntsville, Alabama.
Podcastlink.com/Saturn V.
Oh, right on.
That'll take you right to the donate section and either Fiverr, F-I-V-E, either one will work, podcastlink.com/Saturn5. You guys want to do picks?
Yeah. So I saw a movie over the weekend because it was Oscar weekend and I hadn't seen some of the Oscar movies. And so I decided to see A Star Is Born. I watched A Star Is Born. Question. What is the genre of music that Jackson Maine, as played by Bradley Cooper, is famous for? Brian, you saw this movie, right?
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, I'll tell you this much. I toured for an entire summer with country music stars, and that was a country music concert to these eyes.
So, yeah, you'd think, right? But there's no moment when he's, like, playing, like, a country, like, radio hit. It's weird because it's like it feels like all country music ballads that are like the fourth most popular song on the album are like all the songs that are
I think
played during it.
That's intentional. I mean, he's clearly a cowboy musician, you know, I would try naming names now, but the risk of getting them wrong would be too embarrassing. But there's a lot of them where it's like, yeah, they're twangiest is their biggest hits. But I mean, you know, even listening to Brooks of Dunn and Rascal Flatts during their concert, you could pick out something that didn't feel recognizably country.
Yeah, I guess this is not a slam on the movie, which is more one of those things that as I got further into it, I was like, oh, wow, like these are all like he's kind of like this weird hybrid. And maybe it was just in my head because I knew he apparently modeled his playing style and onstage persona off Eddie Vedder. So it was like this like weird grunge country kind of like outlaw sort of idea that I think it's fine. I don't think that the movie would have been better for making that clearer. But
I think on his podcast, Penn Jillette, I don't know if he coined it, but that's where I first heard it. He says country music is just grunge with a fiddle. And and it's like, yeah, all right, that tracks.
Yeah, somebody, this is on Twitter, and somebody called it farm emo. To that I say, hooray. The Star is Born is my favorite farm emo movie of all time. In all seriousness, I thought it was good. Bradley Cooper's a good director. And where else do you get to see great heartfelt performances by Andrew Dice Clay and Dave Chappelle?
So would you say the music was kind of Chris Gaines-like?
It was a little Chris Gaines. It's like if Chris Gaines became gigantic, like it was obviously somebody who had a country thing but wanted to do rock and roll. Like they wanted country themed rock and roll, not rock themed country, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I was blown away the first third of the movie at just how real it felt. I mean it was like getting in a time machine and going back to summer 2003. It was amazing.
Yeah, you know, if there's one element, the movie is hung on the fact that Lady Gaga has a great performance. She's a great actress, obviously. She's a great singer. There's like a turn in the movie where she's on her career path that I kind of was curious because she's becoming the Lady Gaga that we know. And it's like, but the movie's like, oh, that's not great. Like, I didn't know whether or not I was supposed to be meant to feel bad that she was becoming the artist that became a star that I liked, which is most of the reason why I'm watching this movie.
I thought they fairly intentionally in that phase made the music intentionally trite of subject matter to the point where you were supposed to feel like this is kind of beneath you. But, you know.
But also, it's like, is that more or less than Let's Dance?
I would say it was certainly aiming to portray it as less than Let's Dance.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I haven't seen it yet.
When does the statute of limitations run out on this thing?
I mean, it just got award last night. You know? Now, more people are going to go see it now, though, than...
Sure. This is just more, I don't know. It was just one of those things where it's like, I was semi unsure where I was, where the movie wanted me to be led, but it was great. And, I enjoyed it. It's much better than the other movie I watched this weekend, Crazy Rich Asians. Wow. Oh. That's terrible.
Oh, really?
That's, yeah.
It's
bad.
It's like, it's a, I mean, it's a rom-com. It's more just rom, not a lot of com.
Not a lot of com. I'm very glad everybody, there's a lot of talented people in there, yeah, that normally there's not more than three Asians that get to be a part of a movie. I was very excited that all these great actors that we like in other roles got to be in a movie where they played exact carbon copies of the other roles that we are celebrating the fact that they get to stretch their wings away from. I'm just saying, hey, we've all watched Ken Jeong and said, it'd be great if I were able to see him as kind of a creep in a tracksuit.
Oh, yeah, he definitely.
Is that a thing that we've seen a lot? Oh, well, how about Jin Yang? We love Jin Yang on Silicon Valley. He's kind of a gruff a-hole who has a lot of money. Oh, he plays the exact same character? Oh, okay. Oh, that's great. How about Awkwafina? Oh, the same thing? The same exact thing that she does in every Awkwafina thing. Okay, cool. I like them all. I liked them then. I liked them here. But the script feels like it was translated back and forth from Cantonese three times in Google Translate.
I watched a romantic comedy. I watched a rom-com. Isn't it romantic? I almost liked it. I certainly burst out laughing.
What is it? This movie is? Oh, this is.
Did you guys miss it? It already came out and everything.
Yeah, this is the meta romance. The Rebel Wilson finds herself in a romantic comedy.
Gia,
John Candy's Delirious.
I'm gonna spoil a little bit for you. She definitely calls out all the tropes and why she hates romantic comedies, and then bonks her head and wakes up with an entirely too attractive doctor, and guess what? Finds herself in a romantic comedy and realizes that the only way to get out is to do all the tropes, which is really, really funny up until you get over the hump and you're like, oh, man, wouldn't it be great to end by subverting everything and surprising us? Because, like, all of these have been a delight to have things called out and then, you know, inadvertently find yourself in that trope anyway. And then right when you're desperately hoping, you know, that it breaks that pattern and surprises you with something, it does not. And instead becomes a very boring final 20 minutes as you wait for yes, okay, there's no more surprises left. And now you got, okay, none of us are really feeling it because you explained to us why we shouldn't feel it. And then guess what? She wakes up and is a changed person.
The premise sounds fun. But just as sort of kind of, I don't know, sort of fun. Go watch the trailer for John Candy's Delirious.
Oh, this Remember is when he gets bonked in the head and then he becomes suave and James Bond, right? Is it a romantic comedy or an act? I thought it was an action star thing.
No, romantic comedy.
Oh, okay.
So it's another, oh my God, I'm in this world that I, you know, I've made fun of and now I'm here. In this case, he's inside of a soap opera and,
Although, I mean, like, that's not a bad comp. If you're Rebel Wilson and you're like, oh, let me just do John Candy movies, like that's not a bad a career role for somebody like her.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I think she's very capable, amazing, you know, talented. So, but it was just, I saw this, I'm like, because like there's we also have, was it the one Anne Hathaway, the Hustle, which looks like, thank you.
No, that's like straight out Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm wondering, I was like, because I'm like, oh, I guess I think that's like actually is a like an actual remake of that. And the trailer for that looks great. I'm like, I wonder if this is a remake of Delirious. Like, no, it's just sort of, you know, the same thing. So the trailer for Hustle looks great.
But that's not my pick.
Oh,
my pick.
No, that was just a bonus carpet bombing. Isn't it romantic?
Yeah. I mean, I do want to high five the parts that were good. Parts that were good were quite good indeed. How to Train Your Dragon, number 3, The Hidden World. Did you like How to Train Your Dragon 1? You should. It's a great movie. Were you surprised that How to Train Your Dragon 2 wasn't garbage and that they instead figured out something interesting about dragons to reveal to us? Well, they did. Are you interesting if it's possible to have a third movie that maybe has some sloppy cartoonish action sequences, but ultimately sticks the landing emotionally and completes the trilogy? The answer is yes, they can. And it's a lot of fun. A few of the jokes fell a little bit flat. Some of the action just, you know, I don't know. Watching the first one. So I watched this twice. I watched it, and then I showed my kids the first one. The first one, they do some really good, like, Avengers level, giving you all the elements and then combining them in clever, satisfying action set pieces that are really, really cool. Whereas in three, it's just a little bit more, you know, feels a little bit more like with the prequels, where it's like, everything's crazy, there's fighting, these people are winning. But on an emotional level, it's next level. I mean, for the, what the message of the movie is, and also, you know, I don't think this is giving anything away. All the marketing is about toothless courting a female, and as one might imagine, it's hard to let your beloved things go find themselves and other people you don't like, and the role of Hiccup as worrying Jewish mother is fantastic about whether or not she's right for the family. And, you know, ultimately people grow up and things change. And, hey, as a father of a teenage daughter who loves, oh, I don't know, dragons, it was a fun, powerful thing that I enjoyed very much twice.
I just wanted
to Train Your Dragon 3 twice this weekend.
Yeah. Well, I went on Friday morning because normally my Friday mornings are spent just waiting for the Modern Rogue episode to drop, so I don't have much to do, and Penny doesn't have school on that day. So I was like, hey, let's go see this movie. And Bonnie's like, well, what about the other kids? I was like, I'll see it twice. I'm sure it'll be fine. And I did. And it was great.
There you go.
I have a pick. I also went to the movies because it's Oscar season, and I was able to snatch one of the very last tickets to go see Happy Death Day to You.
Getting a jump on next year, I see.
Yeah, I really wanted to. Okay, so Happy Death Day 1 from 2017 is not a great movie. It's not a great Groundhog's Day movie. It kind of doesn't really answer much of anything. But I the reason I went to go see the sequel was because the sequel says something really interesting about the first movie, which is like, hey, you remember that movie that was kind of bad? Did you notice how we didn't kind of explain anything and it just sort of ends at some point? And the premise is like, okay, what if we did a lot of sci-fi stuff and tried to make it sound like there was a, kind of a reason for everything to happen? And that's what got me to go see it. I don't think it lands any of that stuff. It's for a sci-fi take on the horror take on a Groundhog's Day movie. It doesn't really land the sci-fi stuff because it's all just like, oh, you're Jim. I'm from a trapezoidal dimension and parallel universe. Like it's all very mumbo jumbo.
So wait, has there been a sequel to a Groundhog Day movie? Is this
there's already one in the works for Edge of Tomorrow, like that's coming out, but hasn't come out
sure
yet.
Yeah, but yeah. But up till now, like, I can't think of one off the top of my head that for any of those types of movies that they've gone back and done it, and I think largely because one of the questions you have to answer when you're telling a story like that is how much do you want to talk about, like, any of this? Like, is it just a thing that's happening to teach somebody a lesson?
Edge of Tomorrow, I would say, got the closest, even though it was the first of its name. They sort of said,
butterfly,
like,
effect.
They said,
true, butterfly effect.
What's that?
The butterfly effect got a couple
sequels. Multiple sequels.
Oh, yeah.
And they're making a VR video game sequel to Groundhog's Day. You play his son or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, Brian, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I was just going to say they sort of made it sound like a sequel where it's just like, yeah, the thing you have, I have it. And then they're like, oh, it happened to me and now it's happening to you. They established sort of they implied an entire narrative that happened before, and this is the second time that it's happened.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they made the decision to say, oh, no, there's a reason why this is happening. Here's the thing. Here's how we're not going to stop it because I remembered my daughter's birthday. It's going to be because we you know, spoiler alert, did the thing that happens at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And I wish Happy Death Day to You really solidified that of like, hey, like some we're doing another Groundhog's Day sort of thing, and now here's kind of why. And I left the movie with two thoughts, one being that they didn't really get it on this one, but they also set up a conceit for them to do another sequel to this.
Oh.
And like kind of open up, like I think this is a really fascinating territory. If you had I'll speak very vaguely, but if you had the ability to put someone in a Groundhog's Day loop, what does that look like? And what concepts could you get out of that? Which would also be cool if you could explain any of it, but
this kind of feels like one of those franchises that's eventually going to end up either in space or in the Old West.
Yes.
We're going to just start. He's like, all right, now eventually we got to put him on some bizarre a change of scenery just to keep it fresh.
I will say, I will say really good emotional stuff, though. I think they really play into kind of what makes the thing that happens in this movie different from the first movie. And it plays really, really well. To where, like, that the emotional stuff is really solid. Like, I think if you got this on a matinee, you would really enjoy it. Because they recap the first movie very quickly.
Cool.
So what we're saying is we want a Quantum Leap remake.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a universal forever, always.
Yeah. I had two picks.
Okay.
Okay. One's just a recommendation. I love the show The Expanse. But I kind of like don't rush out to go watch every season as soon as I can because I kind of want to savor The Expanse because it's a show that I was like, first episode, I'm like, man, second, I'm like, let's see. And then I'm like, yep, no, it's great. It's like the best sci-fi show on TV since Battlestar Galactica.
Accurate.
And maybe technically better, you know. The Expanse is great. Season three, all three seasons are now on Amazon Prime.
That's right.
Sweet. So I'm working my way through season three, and I just think the writing, I think it's just so well done. And, you know, just exceptional. And they're going to be doing more seasons on Amazon, which is exciting. So it's a reason to jump into the series is to say, hey, you know, it's not like, oh, I'll just watch it because there's three seasons and that's it. It's like, nope, they're going to keep making more, you know, at least another season or so of this. So, and because Amazon bought the rights, they own the worldwide rights to it. So it's something that they want to do. And it's a wonderful production when you watch it, you know, it's a very, very diverse cast, very, very interesting view of what the future could be like. I think a very depressing version, but still very cool. So that's that pick. Another pick is I've been watching this YouTube channel a little bit, and that's Defunct Land. You guys familiar with this?
Nope.
Defunct Land is a channel that's all about basically it started with showing like what happened to this Disney attraction? What happened to this thing here? And they talk about like, but also they talk about like, you know, the Jaws ride in Universal. And so it gets into amusement park attractions that no longer exist or things relating to that. And they do an entire episode on, you know, where did the extraterrestrial terror encounter come from at Disneyland? Where did that idea came from?
Oh, my God. That was so good before they made it cartoon. Like when they were going for scary, that was amazing.
It started off with like Eisner was like, hey, you know, what'd be great would be, let's see if we can't do an alien the ride.
Yeah.
Literally, that's where it came from. Was literally they wanted to do that. And like
Ridley Scott alien, like Xenomorph alien.
Exactly.
What's that? Yeah, like the actual Ridley Scott alien. He wanted to do something like that. And then they turned out to be very scary in what they did and whatnot. So they get in the story of that. A lot of really, really great. There's like hundreds of episodes there. They talk about, hey, remember what happened to, wouldn't it be great if Disney did their own Chuck E. Cheese?
Sounds theoretically awesome.
Well, that was called Club Disney, and they actually tried it, and it didn't work. But they stuff like that.
Oh,
like,
my God. They're doing right now, you're showing on the B-roll Action Park, which I went to. And, oh, man, that place is amazing because it was unsafe as hell, locally known as Traction Park. It was unreal.
So, yeah, it's just a great, great deep dive into a lot of these different sort of stories and events because, you ask yourself questions. You go to, you know, my favorite thing, you go to Disney World, you're on the boats, and you see this abandoned water park through the bushes. You're like, what's the story on that? And maybe Defunct Land's already done an episode on that. So it's just a really cool, well-presented show.
That's awesome.
Series. The Jaws ride. Yeah, so they had the problem. They talked about, like, the Jaws ride when they first opened it. The Jaws shark would actually bite the back of the boat where they had, like, you know, a pontoon. And the problem was they put real shark's teeth in there.
Oh, oh.
Little things like that. So, you know, just the history of that ride is kind of amazing. And then, you know, the rivalry between Disney and Universal, Michael Eisner and his, you know, his quirks, very, very, very fascinating. And funny little connection is that I'm watching this and they show Michael Eisner how when he was taking control of the parks, he brought his teenage son at the time, Breck Eisner, to go look at it and got the point of view of Breck Eisner. Breck Eisner is also a director now who has directed episodes of what? Wait for it. Expanse.
Oh,
look at that. Old.
It all comes full circle, folks. So anyhow, Defunct Land.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I think we've satisfied our weird quotient for the day. And next time I speak to you, hopefully I will have watched the launch. As all of you can watch it live, you know, the streaming. It's a great presentation when SpaceX and NASA, you know, show these things. So Crew Dragon. Hey,
also
Friday night, Saturday morning.
I don't know if we already brought up last week, but public service announcement. If you never got to see Hacking the System, it's on Amazon Prime streaming right now. All 12 episodes.
Yay. A funny thing about that. There was a Tesla crash on Flamingo Road in Davie, which Justin and I know very, very well. We know that road. And, you know, we don't know the circumstances. Somebody said they had trouble trying. They couldn't get the guy out of the car. I think he was, like, speeding and hit. I don't know what happened. Speeding and hit. I'm like, yeah, I remember in Florida, we always had, like, window smashing tools because of the canals, right? Oh, and I'm like, oh, what's a good window smashing tool? So I type in how to break a window.
Ah!
And what do I get?
Hacking the System. That's amazing.
An episode of How to Break a Window. I'm like, oh, yeah, it all comes full circle. It's been weird.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.